grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. The text for the sermon this evening is from the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, the 1st through the 14th verses. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said to him, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This passage you just heard has been called the most puzzling story in the Bible. Story which in fact baffles us and continues to scandalize so many who read it. So what really is going on here? To put it in a few words, God commands the patriarch Abraham to kill his son Isaac. The son which had been God's special gift to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. But God isn't just asking Abraham to kill his son. That in itself is horrifying enough. What's happening here is that God is in fact asking Abraham to kill the son through whom God has promised to fulfill all his promises to Abraham. God gives promises, but then he asks for the destruction of the son through whom the promises would be fulfilled. Just think about that for a moment. And when you think about all that, no wonder this passage has been called the most puzzling story in the Bible. No wonder it continues to baffle, even scandalize, so many who read and hear it. So how on earth are we to understand this seemingly forbidding, even alarming story? How are we to make sense, any sense, of it? Well, it was Dr. Luther who once said that apart from Christ, the Holy Scriptures are a book sealed with seven seals. Apart from Christ, the Holy Scriptures are a book sealed with seven seals. And what he meant by that is that apart from Christ, the Scriptures cannot be rightly nor fully understood, because Christ is in fact the whole content of the Scriptures. Again, Dr. Luther said, all Scripture is pure Christ. All Scripture is pure Christ. And that isn't only the opinion of that venerable 16th century teacher of the church. It is in fact the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Even before his passion, in controversy with his enemies, Jesus had said of the Holy Scriptures, and remember that at that point, the only Holy Scriptures were the Old Testament Scriptures. So he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. He says, it is they which bear witness to me. You remember, of course, that on the evening of the first Easter day, two despairing disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. When Jesus suddenly joined them, they didn't recognize him. And when he asked them why they looked so sad, they spoke of what had in fact happened the past few days. And it was then that Jesus replied, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then St. Luke, the gospel writer, has this to say, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And later that evening, Jesus appeared to all the disciples and said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Well, you and I speak of the Old Testament scriptures, but the way the ancient Jews spoke of the Old Testament was the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. That means the Old Testament scriptures in their entirety, with nothing left out. And so it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself who first taught that the Old Testament scriptures are really and most truly all about him. And so it is only in the light of Christ that we can fully understand this story, which appears so puzzling and indeed continues to scandalize so many who hear or read it. It's interesting to note that the Jewish rabbis saw in this story a foreshadowing of Israel's own history. Because, so the rabbis said, in its history, the people of Israel were, so to speak, just like Isaac, bound on the altar with Abraham poised with his knife to destroy him. And just so Israel was, so to speak, under the knife at the mercy of its enemies who willed its destruction. Be all that as it may, we return to this story to see it in the light of Christ. Apart from Christ, it cannot be truly understood. But in the light of Christ, it is full of great and endless comfort. Yes, it still remains difficult for us poor mortals, since we do in fact see here the God who kills and makes alive, who brings down to the grave and brings up. But in the truest sense, we here see Christ, Christ our Savior. Like Isaac carrying the wood for the offering, the Lord Jesus carries his cross to Golgotha. And just as Isaac did that at the command of his father, just so Jesus goes forth to the place of sacrifice because his father wills it. As we'll sing in Paul Gerhardt's wonderful hymn after the sermon, go forth, my son, the father said, and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. But the key to the whole story appears when, in response to Isaac's question, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham replies, God will provide himself the lamb. God will provide himself the lamb. Well, after the angel of the Lord restrains Abraham from plunging the knife into his son bound on the altar, Abraham turns around and he sees a ram caught in a thicket. And we are told that Abraham then went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. The ram takes the place of Isaac as his substitute. And in this is foreshadowed not only the innumerable animals offered in sacrifice in the temple at Jerusalem, but finally and most truly Christ, whom the sacrifice of Isaac and the temple offerings only foreshadowed. God will himself provide the lamb. The eternal Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is that lamb. And as our substitute, he suffers on the cross the condemnation that you and I deserve because of our sins. Jesus is the true lamb provided by God. He is that full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, for your sins and for mine. Jewish tradition, which also was followed by many of the church fathers, said that after Isaac's marvelous deliverance, he came down the mountain of sacrifice, laughing for joy. And because we have in faith seen the Lamb slain for our sins, now gloriously risen, we can, we must rejoice. Someone has said that apart from this lamb, all that is left is a cruel sarcasm, or that rage against God and the world, which, though variously concealed, remains such a painful and destructive reality in this world as we know it. In the Lamb, we catch a glimpse of heaven. We, in fact, see the gentleness of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.